Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you, and it's another day the Lord has given us. And in Cleveland, we have gone through some cold, cold weather, but we're looking forward to it getting warmer. And even in our studio today, we're certainly not going to go to sleep with the weather in here. But the Lord's still alive and well. Isn't that great? Jesus has said He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and we know that He's coming back, and it's one day closer to that time. And with all the chaos in the world, He's coming back and is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. If you believe the Bible, that's what it says. Revelation says in one place 6 times it says 1,000 years. And there's no reason to spiritualize it or demonize it. Just take it for what it says. That's how you take the Bible. Take it for what it says, the plain sense. And I'm so glad today we have Brother Al Davis, and he's pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And he has these very interesting scientific reports. So we're going to start out with that report. And he also has a radio program. So I told him he needs to talk about that, and then we'll go on with the program.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate that. And again, just a quick reminder here before I forget to mention it, you can always learn more about Bruce and his program and listen to past programs if you go to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And there's also links there to some of the materials that Bruce recommends and different things there. So you can check all that out at whereisgodsword.com. And as Bruce said, I'm Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we do a program on AM 1220 every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock at night until midnight. And both of those are live call-in programs, and that's Live with Pastor Al. And you can find out about those at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, you can link from that off from or link to that off from Bruce's page at whereisgodsword.com. But glad to be with you today, Bruce. And I've got something here I was looking at this last night, actually. I was thinking about it, looking at it a little bit more this morning and all that. And Job has a lot of interesting things in it. Anybody that's interested in natural history would love the last several chapters of the book of Job. And there's a great piece of information here in Job chapter 39. In Job chapter 39, starting in verse number 27, it says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command, and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she." And it's talking about the eagle here, and there's a lot of interesting things about the eagle there and the natural history of the eagle in that passage. But one part I wanted to focus on is here in Job 39, in verse 29, it says, "From thence," or remember, "from thence," she's up on the crag of the rock. She's up on a cliff face, and you'll see where eagles will nest way up high on places, up on the side of a cliff. They've even nested on the sides of buildings and things, and there's some places where they've actually put platforms up on some of these really tall utility towers, you know, where you see these electrical utility towers, these big ones for the high power lines go by. They'll put a platform up there for eagles to nest on, and the eagle is up there on its where it nests, and it says, "From thence she seeketh the prey," which means she'll be way up high like that hunting. And sometimes when they're flying high up in the air, hunting, and it says, "Her eyes behold afar off." And the eyes of the eagle are absolutely amazing when you think about this. And the Bible brings that out. And if we had eyes like an eagle's, we could be at the top of a 10-story building and we could look down on the sidewalk below and make out an ant crawling across the sidewalk. Could you imagine that?
Well, that's amazing.
You know, an eagle can spot a rabbit from over a mile away, just hopping along on the side of the road somewhere. And they're up on that side of that mountain, on that cliff, or up on that high tension power tower. And they'll be staring and looking out there. They actually, where average eyesight for a human is 20/20, for an eagle, it's about 25 or 24. And that means that what we would see clearly at 20 feet, they can see, or at 4 feet, they'd see clearly at 20 feet without any problem. But they have this interesting way that they can look, and they can see not only, if you're familiar with computer screens, we talk about pixels on your computer screen, or maybe if you think of your TV, your HD TV and all the little pixels that are in that. If you imagine your eye being like that and you have a certain number of pixels, the eagles have more. Their eyesight is amongst the best eyesight of any animal that God has created. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And another thing that they can do, they can see in ultraviolet light, which is good because they can detect signs of where their prey is with the ultraviolet light. Because, for instance, urine leaves a mark that is visible under ultraviolet light. And so here's this eagle sitting way up high up on a cliff, or soaring through the air, and they're looking down. And from a mile away, they can see where a rabbit has been walking along, and they can even spot the rabbit moving and come in and seek their prey and come and catch it. And it's absolutely amazing. It's like we said about some of these scientific things. How would Job have known that, to put that in his book? But see, God is talking to Job here in Job chapter 39, asking if Job knows about these things. And in fact, Job 39 is a series of questions that God is asking Job. And he talks about the eagle here and how she can seek her prey and her eyes behold afar off. People talk about eyes of an eagle and eagle eye and things like that, somebody who's got good eyesight. But we never suspected years ago how good the eagle's eyesight was. And it's if you could imagine having a camera with a telephoto lens built in the front, where all around, if you watch an eagle, they're moving their head side to side because they look for something, and when they detect it, then they center in on it, and the center of their visual field is like a telephoto lens, and it just zooms right in from a mile or more away on their prey, and they can fly down and catch it. And here again, proof of the accuracy of God's word. And the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, run to and fro through the earth, and they see even better than the eyes of the eagle. They know the thoughts and the intentions of the heart of man, which I think leads to the question, the passage you're going to discuss in Hebrews as well today. So there's our science today.
Yeah, I was reading one place in the Bible where it says that the wicked man says God doesn't see him. You know, well, if God can make an eagle to see like that, certainly he can see better than an eagle.
Exactly.
And he sees everything that's going on. And that's why evolutionists try to promote that idea, because they don't like the idea God's watching them. But, of course, he is. And someone has said evolution is a creation myth of atheism based on emotional panic at the thought of God. and that's about it. You know, they try to, but yeah, you know, you could see all around you, everything decays and gets old. You know, they call it in science entropy, but nevertheless, it happens. It doesn't go the other way.
No,
everything is decaying.
Yeah. Well, and what you talked about, emotional, the fear of running into God. I had a professor when I was in college, and I senior year forced biology class, and at the end of the course, he said, you know, I choose to believe in evolution because the only other alternative is special creation. And then he said, and I don't want to believe that.
Well, he was honest, you know.
Yeah, exactly. He was. It's what you said. He's afraid that God might exist, and he doesn't want to know.
You know, I think Bertrand Russell basically said he liked to sleep around, you know, and that was why one of the reasons that he believed in his atheism,
mm-hmm.
because the Bible doesn't go along with that kind of idea. God yeah. doesn't. Well, thanks for that report. You always come up with the most interesting reports. I tell you, it's worth saving these programs, I think, just to listen to these scientific reports, and I'm sure glad you're on the program here with us. I tell you what, we on this program uphold the Bible as the Word of God, and particularly the King James Bible. And I have mentioned this a number of times in the past, but there's a passage where it says, and it's not very complimentary to preachers, he says, "My shepherds are all dumb dogs," you know. And I'm thinking, I'm about nearly 75 years old, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to meet the Lord pretty soon. God only knows when that'll happen, but I don't want to get a DD degree from him, dumb dog degree, you know. And, you know, the thing about a dog is, and the shepherds, that's God's preachers, and that we're supposed to, says they refuse to bark, you know,
mm-hmm.
in that passage. They're dumb dogs because they refuse to bark. Barking of a dog barking is very irritating. And really, on this program, that's what we're doing. We're spiritually barking, and I'm sure that it is very irritating to a lot of people what we're saying. But I believe it's so necessary because the very heart of our faith is the Word of God, and it's so connected to Jesus Christ. I heard one time when I was in church, and some guy just out of Bible school, he made this statement, and it's a dichotomy. It should never be made. He states, well, I don't worship the Bible, but I worship the God of the Bible. That is a false dichotomy because the words of the Bible, and I'm not talking about the paper and ink, but the words of the Bible and the words of Jesus Christ are the same, and Christ himself are the same. I mean, your words and you are the same, and the Bible mm-hmm. makes that very clear in many passages. Jesus says, if ye abide in me, and I abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Then the Bible uses parallelisms to explain things. And he says, in that parallelism, a few verses, a verse or two down, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So Jesus Christ abides in us through his words. And when you mess with the words, you're messing with Jesus. So you attack the words, you're attacking Jesus. You're blaspheming the words and speaking against the words. You're speaking against Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about in this program. And the reason we have it, and sometimes it takes a while for people to understand what we're trying to get at. But, you know, there is what is called the received text. I sometimes call it the apostolic text. That is the text that Christ and the apostles gave us. And it's called the received text or textus receptus. And it's come down to us in a number of different translations. And they're in museums over in Europe, but people have access to these translations. And when the King James Bible came out, and just like the words of the King James are misinterpreted, sometimes the words of the King James translators are misinterpreted. For instance, they said, well, there's different translations, and they're still the Word of God. Well, for instance, you have the Procida translation of the Bible. It goes way back hundreds of years, and that's the Word of God. Or you have the Koine Greek translation or the Koine Greek text. That's the Word of God. It's all the same received text in different translations. You have the italic text, which is the received text. It's the Word of God, and that's what they were saying. But today they have taken that out of context and saying the translations we have today are all the Word of God. Well, they don't agree, the ones that they have today, and we've tried to say this. They disagree in thousands of places. Whole scripture verses are taken out. Whole sections are taken out. Whole words are changed by the thousands to entirely different meanings. We had a program about a week or two ago here, and one of the ways you could tell, we should bring that up again, is the Bible says, and sometimes it sounds close, but it's different. And people sometimes, they'll just read it and say, yeah, it sounds like the same thing. You know, I would recommend, for instance, that you get this book called The New Age Bible Versions. And in there, there's 2,500 scripture verses. And when a new version comes out, check that version with these scripture verses. You don't have, I tell you, you don't have to believe anything we say. We just check out what we say. That's all. Or get some of these books we recommend and check them out for yourself. I'll tell you, I got started in this because I remember when I was young, used to hear preachers that you always in a message, two or three times they'd correct the Bible. Do you ever remember hearing that when you were younger, preacher?
Well, it'd be things like, well, a better translation would be, or this is an unfortunate translation.
Yeah.
It should be, and then they'll fill in, you know, whatever they is preferable to them.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember sometimes if they forgot to say that during a message, they'd make up for lost time and correct the Bible a couple times right near the end of the message. I remember one guy, he was doing this, and I guess he was saying, well, the definite article should be in, and or the definite article should be out, you know, the. And he was all translators put it in or out. You know, it's not necessarily the definite article isn't always in the Greek, but if you ever do translating, sometimes to make the structure of the English sound right, you put you put that in. See, so he was going on and on about that, and I mean it was ridiculous. He didn't know what he was talking about, and we're not just bringing this up to somebody. Somebody called up the program and says, "What do you think about so and so?" Well, I'm not here to criticize institutions or individuals or rate their programs, but we're here to defend God's word. And why we get, sometimes we make very strong statements here on this program. And I'll tell you why. We have mentioned this numbers of times before, but we'll say it again. If somebody came into my house and my mother was there, now she's gone to be with the Lord in heaven, but she says, well, I love your mother, and she pull out a butcher knife and take off her ear with the butcher knife, I would rather doubt that they love my mother. They say, well, I know your mother, and they cut off her finger, you know. I would get rather upset about that, and I'd have something to say, and I'd do more than that about it, see. Now, this business goes on. I've been brought up on the King James. I love the King James. I preach the King James. And then they correct it, you know. They're using their butcher knife on it. And well, I started to hear this stuff, and then I got to where, as I took Greek, and then I started to investigate these corrections. I don't know if you've ever done that, but this is how I got involved in this. I started investigating when they would correct it, what they said, and I would check out references and so on. See, and finally, one day I was reading a modern version in Luke 2:33. It says, his father and his mother, it's called Joseph, Jesus' father. That's in the New American Standard Version. And so I looked at my Greek New Testament, said pater and mater. Well, that's father and mother, called Joseph, Jesus' father in the Nestle's Greek New Testament I had. It was the 23rd edition. That's what we studied in college. And I found out later on that most Greek departments, they don't even tell you where the Greek text came from. And I suppose now they must be talking about it more because it's getting more controversial, and so they're probably bringing it up in the Greek departments more, I guess. But I found out, I was talking to one guy, and he studied Greek for 4 years. He says, well, to me, he says, I believe in original Greek. And I said to him, I said, well, what Greek text are you talking about? Well, that was the end of the conversation. He didn't even know what Greek text he had studied out of for 4 years. And somebody has counted 666 different Greek texts. But there's the received text. That's the one that we stand on. And there's hundreds of these ancient Bibles in museums in Europe, and people can get a study these texts, you know, and they're found in, we've mentioned this before also, in the Syriac Peshitta Bible, Tatian's Diatessen was written about 250, a harmony of the Gospels, the Koine Greek text, the readings at the back of the some of the ancient Bibles, the responsive readings. And all of these things point to the received text. And today, over 99% of the ancient manuscripts and church fathers, they don't back up the modern versions and the changes made in thousands of places. That's moderns are based on, they call it eclectic text, less than 1% of the manuscripts. But today, the evidence, and even somebody says, well, since the King James out, they found new and better manuscripts and so on. No, the Pope was pushing the Vatican Bible, which they use for the modern versions put out by Constantine before the King James was written, hundreds of years before that he's pushing it, as it backed up the Vulgate. And there's just all this propaganda that's wrong, but you have all these different translations that came down to us. You have the Gothic translation. Many of the words in the King James, they were in the Gothic translation. It came out in before 350, and the words are still there in the King James Bible. So I want to read a scripture verse and what the Bible says about the Word of God. It says the Word of God is quick. Now, in the Bible, when it explains the word, you don't read things like a better reading is, as Fortune Translation Original say. You read which is by interpretation when they explain a word. So the word quick in the King James means simply alive. It is a living thing. Now, if something's alive, it can reproduce. And so despite 100 years of attack on the King James and all the crazy theories that have come out that people try to use, it goes right on. Why? It's living, and a living thing can reproduce itself. And so every generation, a new interest comes in it. And today, despite what you might think, the majority of people that read the Bible every day are reading the King James Bible. They may make some sales on some year that are more than the King James, but people that read it every day are reading the King James by a majority. And it says it is powerful. Look at the revivals that have taken place. They had the Geneva Bible in America, but when Whitfield came over, he came over with the King James Bible, and he went up. It was like a cyclone going up the east coast of the United States and turned America upside down, and the preachers that were saved through him preached all over the United States. Incredible revival after revival. You look at Finney's revival. Everywhere he went, revival followed. You know what Finney said about it? Finney said that he never felt qualified to correct the King James. And I wish the flapdoodles today that correct the Bible, they would think of it like Finney did. And Mr. Talmadge, that they quoted his sermon 600 pages. 600 newspapers took his sermons the next day, and he said it was a perfect translation. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. People say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Use it anyway. It's a sword. It is sharp, and it's the weapon of the Holy Spirit of God. And just preach Jesus. Tell people about Jesus Christ and use the scripture. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, it could speak to the hearts of men. I find out that when I preach it, it just grabs people. It moves them. It speaks to them because it's the Word of God. It says, dividing soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow is discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Then it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. It's the living Word of God. It's Jesus Christ in words. It says that the Word of God sees things. That's Jesus Christ. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's no distinction between those words and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the living Word of God. And when you read it, it'll revive your soul. It'll give you joy. It'll give you peace. It'll give you strength. And God will use this to use you in his service. We have Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How is he with us? He's with us in the Word of God called the Authorized King James Bible. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. And thank God Thy word is true from the beginning. And we can look at the perfect law of liberty according to the Bible.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.